Hello, and welcome to another episode of Faces of Divorce. I am your host, Jadina N. Gustav Esquire, but you can call me Attorney J. And today we are going to discuss the following topic: protect your peace, secure your purpose, walk in power. Peace, purpose, power. Keep that in mind. As you know, Faces of Divorce is the podcast where we explore the profound impact of parental separation and divorce through the eyes of those who live through it, whether as children, adults, or professionals. Each week, we share compelling stories or expert insight that shed light on the challenges and triumphs of navigating divorce. The goal is to divorce different. No more trauma in the divorce process. We are seeking to empower our community, even in the face of divorce. Thank you for tuning in. Whether you're seeking support, insight, or simply a better understanding of how to navigate this difficult terrain, you are in the right place. This episode is for you, women of faith, men of faith, leaders, executives, any position that you are in life. This episode is for you. You may be the individual facing divorce, or you may be supporting someone that is facing divorce. This episode is also for you. I will briefly introduce the WRAP method, which is a method that I have created and cultivated. It is a faith-based legal and emotional strategy for handling divorce with faith and purpose. My mission is to provide a clear understanding and roadmap for you, the listener, those that you share it with. The tools that you employ to understand that divorce is not your downfall. It is your setup for something greater that God has for you. What can you expect today? So, today we will be breaking down the biggest divorce myths. We are also going to go over the legal and financial mistakes that cost women the most, biblical wisdom, and faith-based healing. And also the WRAP method, the RAP method, a proven roadmap for navigating divorce with faith and purpose. When we get to that section, I will break down what the acronyms RAP stands for in the WRAP method. So while you are listening to this, whenever you're listening to this episode, I do want you to engage with what you are hearing. Go ahead and drop in the comments or DM me on what's the biggest fear you have about divorce? What is the biggest misconception? And what about the myths and other pitfalls that I talk about during this episode that you resonate with that maybe provide clarity? So just engage with this. Obviously, this podcast can be found on. We have our RSS feed where you have that homepage or anywhere you listen to podcasts, also on YouTube. So you can go to our YouTube page and post some comments and interact with me and the crew here at Faces of Divorce. So the first thing we are going to get into, and remember, just like we say in our opening, and like we say in all of our episodes, you will have episodes where you are hearing the stories of individuals who have gone through divorce, where they are now, the way that they were able to navigate from toxic to triumph, the way that they were able to emotionally now heal from being children who witnessed their parents' divorce. But the other side of it are experts like myself. I'm a legal expert. I've been practicing family law for over 13 decades, 13, not decades, that'll be a long time, over 13 years, over a decade now, representing men, women, and I have encountered a lot a lot of litigation in court. And so, from that perspective, also from being a licensed minister, I am also coming from that perspective whenever we are having conversations on faces of divorce. The first thing we're going to talk about is know your rights before you file. Why is this important? Divorce is as much a legal process as it is an emotional journey. Without the right strategy, you could find yourself overwhelmed, financially drained, and legally unprepared. In this section, what we talk about, we're going to walk through essential legal steps you need to take and how to ensure you come out of this process not just surviving, but thriving. Before you file for divorce, or if you've already been served or served your partner, you need to know the legal framework that governs divorce in your state. Now, I can say I have reviewed the rules to almost all 50 states. There are a lot of common things. So, what I discuss is what you will commonly find all across the nation, the United States. Now, here are some key legal areas that you need to understand. And remember, this is all with the goal of one, divorcing different and empowering you through a process that we know takes such an emotional toll. First is the difference between marital versus separate property. Okay. What is this? What you get to keep and what gets divided. That's the easiest way to say it. So marital property is those things that the court is going to identify as this is something that you guys own together. The marriage itself, if you want to think of it that way, you know, for those where we talk about business and we talk about ownership and things, think of it as your marriage owns these things, not the two individuals. The marriage own this property. When the marriage own property, that means that the marriage has to now split the property. So the court is coming in to split the property between the two individuals that are in the marriage, but it is not owned individually because that's why we're calling it marital property. What are some of the things that we're talking about? Marital property are the home, bank accounts, investment accounts, retirement accounts, cars, anything you acquire that has value is belongs to the marriage if you acquired it in the marriage. So that's the general understanding and the general principle. However, there are some exceptions. What are the exceptions? The exception is what we call now separate property. Separate property means the two individuals within the marriage actually owns property that does not belong to the marriage. This can be property that you already owned before you got married and you continued, listen to the words I'm saying, you continue to keep that property separate. What does that look like for a house? Because that's usually the biggest question that I get, or the most frequent question that I get. What about the house? I owned the house before we got married. Generally, it starts off as your separate property, but there are some things that you can do that now you have given the marriage ownership of that property. If you own a home before you get married and you continue to pay the mortgage on your own without money from your spouse, you continue and you keep a separate account that you're paying it with, right? And you are the only one paying taxes with money that has been separate, that is not being used together or commingled together with your spouse, then you're keeping it separate. If there's any large repairs or upgrades to the house that needs to be done, and you continue to use that separate account, you use separate money that is put into that account and you pay for everything. You talk to the contractors and your spouse has no part at all in that process. Then again, It's possible that that can remain separate. The longer you stay married within that property, your spouse starts to have claims as to the value that they've added to that property. So those are some of the ways that you keep it separate. Another separate property is any inheritance from a family member that you receive that is not listed in your name and your spouse's name. Inheritance remains your separate property. But if you put it together with the other property that you have at your spouse, again, you can now give it to the marriage and you don't keep it separate. So let's move on. We also have alimony. Alimony is another term that you need to understand. So we understand marital and separate property. We also need to understand alimony, and alimony is spousal support. When are you entitled to it and how to negotiate for the best outcome? There are multiple types of alimony. There's not just one. It doesn't matter what state you're in, there is not just one type of alimony. You need to learn which alimonies apply in your state, and then how do you become eligible to receive it, or how is your spouse going to become eligible to receive it, and what are the factors the court look at? For example, I'll just give you two types of alimony, but there are more than two. There is durational, meaning for the rest of my life, you are going to pay me this amount of money. With that, the factors are usually how long you've been married. Every state has different times, so that we won't universalize that, but just know that every state have different time periods. So there are states where it has to be 17 years. There are states where it has to be 20 years. There are states where it's 10 years where you can get it forever. But you are going to have to prove, one, that you have that need, that the person has the ability to pay it with all alimony, that the person has the ability to pay it, and also that this is something, because you cannot now go out and make the same type of money that you would have, because you have changed yourself, your opportunities for the marriage, and it has been that case for the whole period of time, right? The 17 years, the 20 years, the 10 years, however long it is. So that is how you would get durational. There's also every state call it different, but it's more short term. It's short term and it's connected to a plan that you have in place. So let's say that you stop going to school because of the marriage and you wanted to, be at home, make sure that there's enough time for the children, or maybe for your spouse to be able to do a very high intense job that requires them to put so much into it that when they are home, they can't really do that much. So you change your circumstance. But now we're getting divorced. I know the education that I'm going to get. I know my plan, but I need to be supported until my plan is officially completed, right? So then you get alimony for that period of time, but you have to have a clear plan. So those are just the two examples, but you need to know about alimony in your state. We also have child custody and child support. How does the court determine what's in the best interest? That's a term of art, guys. I'm not saying it just to say it, but listen, in your state, you will hear the term best interest of the child. Your court or your state legislature, they have in the statute what they consider the best interest of the child. They have it outlined. It is up to you to make sure that you go, you find, you can go onto any search engine. You put in your state and put in what is my state's factors to determine best interests of the child. And it will outline those things. As you're going through it, you are putting facts, you are putting things that's happened in your marriage, your circumstances, all of that to see what is a possible outcome if we were to present this to the court right now. Okay. Because the custody, just know that the general policy in most all of the states is that children's best interest is to be a part of both of their parents' lives. So both of the parents should be involved in their lives equally. That's where they start. It is up to you, your facts, your circumstances, to make sure that that is actually true for you. If it is not, it is important that you make it clear that this is not true for us. So here are the reasons why I want you to move from this policy, okay? If there's harm that's been done in the past to the child by that other parent and you don't want that to happen again, you need to provide that proof. So that is generally for custody. Now, for support, a lot of states have moved to the statutory support. Statutory support means that they also have put in the law how they're going to determine the child support. Generally, how it is they take the two spouses' income, they take how many nights the child sleeps at each parent's home, because we call it not just day visits, but we call it overnight visits. They also take into account who's paying for insurance, who's paying any extra for education, all of that. It goes into this equation. They calculate it, and it depends on the number of children. There's a number that's going to be generated for both spouses. Both spouses are going to have a number. Obviously, the person with the higher number, we're going to subtract it from the person with the lower number. And that's how child support is usually determined, right? So remember, everybody has an obligation to take care of their children at their rate. Whether you're working, you're not working, even certain states, they will give you so that you have some income, minimum wage. At minimum, there should be minimum wage, right? If you don't have the skills, you don't have the education, you cannot be underemployed because the courts don't go for that, okay? So, in determining either alimony or child support, you cannot be underemployed. You also have to think about taxes, the liabilities that you guys have in the marriage. So, student loans, credit cards, loans for the mortgage, cars, everything like that also needs to be considered. And then also prenups and postnups. Okay. So, prenuptial agreement, postnuptial agreement. If you have one, how will it impact your divorce settlement? Will it be enforceable? Those are things to consider. So let's go over some hypothetical scenarios. So, case one, the financially overlooked spouse. That's what we're going to call case one. So, we have a woman that's married for 15 years, sacrificed her career to raise children and obviously nurture the marriage and be the wife to her spouse. Her husband is the primary breadwinner. She's worried about how she will be able to support herself after the divorce. Now, we can ask, okay, how do we determine her income? What are we going to be able to do to see how is she going to be able to make it, right? So, legal strategy. She may be eligible for alimony, which we call spousal support, a portion of the retirement benefits, and a financial settlement to help her transition into her independence. What is the takeaway? You have to get a full financial disclosure and work either with an attorney. I suggest with an attorney, right? And I'm going to get to having an attorney versus not having an attorney to ensure that she gets a fair settlement. The second case, we have the business owner's dilemma. This is case number two. A woman owns a successful business, or a man owns a successful business, but she started it during the marriage. Now her spouse is claiming half of the business. The legal strategy. If the business was built during the marriage with shared funds, remember I talked about that. Is the money separate or is it put together? It may be considered marital property, meaning the marriage owns it. However, legal experts can help negotiate buyouts, determine ownership percentages, or set up trusts to protect assets. Now, the takeaway is if you're a business owner, you need to consult a financial advisor or an attorney before making any settlement decisions. Because why do I say that? When you have that scenario, right? The whole business scenario, and this is a business you started, but your spouse probably was not involved in the business at all while it was going on, probably doing their own thing, not to be mean, just wasn't a part of it. And
We may think that, oh, well, it's just 50-50 because everything in marriage is 50-50. That's actually not true. Another term that we have to understand is that it is community property and separate property states. California, for example, is a community property. So they just basically say things you got in the marriage is going to be split 50-50 if you don't have an agreement in place that the person agreed to get less than 50%, okay, or more than 50%. With this situation, you're in a separate property state, or maybe there is an agreement in place. It's not necessarily 50-50. It needs to be equitable, meaning it needs to be fair. If you put in all the hours, all the time into that business, and maybe the person being there, being with the children sometime while you're networking and you're doing this and whatever it is you're doing for the business, then maybe it should be 70-30, right? Not 50-50. Maybe 80-20. But you wouldn't know to make this argument. You wouldn't know to negotiate in this way because you have not been aware of the strategies that we can put in place when you are in this part, right? The financial part of the divorce process. So it is very important. We're going to talk next about the power of a legal team versus DIY divorce. Take a moment to pause to acknowledge our sponsors of this episode.
The Sejuguista Firm PLLC, celebrating a decade of excellence, the Sejuguista Firm provides award-winning estate planning and business legal services in Florida and Georgia. Secure your legacy with trusted expertise, thesgfirm.com. Divorce Lab Institute. Reclaim your power with Divorce Lab Institute, helping women break free from toxic marriages with holistic support and expert legal insights. Your healing starts here. DLabInstitute.com. Ally Prestige Apparel, style with significance. Ally Prestige Apparel celebrates and empowers paralegals and nurses and professional support staff with high quality, meaningful fashion. Wear with pride. Join the movement. AllyPrestigeApparel.com. And those are our sponsors.
We are back with the power of a legal team versus DIY. So you listening may be one of them, which is fine. Remember, Faces of Divorce is a no judgment zone. We are not judging. We want to inform and empower. So many people think that they can handle divorce on their own to save money. However, what you save up front could cost you in the long run if you make uninformed decisions. Let's talk about some pros and cons of DIY divorce. The first thing is it is cheaper upfront. The next thing is it's good for, you know, those divorces where you guys agree to everything and or it's a simple divorce where there's no kids, no assets, and you guys can come together and agree. Then that's fine, right? If you can agree and you don't feel you're being taken advantage of, the other person does not feel they're being taken advantage of, then that can work. Now, some of the cons is the risk of missing legal details that could cost you years later. Also, no one to advocate for your best interest. Here's a hypothetical. So we have, this is case three, a lowball settlement offer. A woman is offered a quick divorce settlement that looks decent on paper, but she doesn't realize it undervalues her marital assets. She signs without consulting a lawyer and later discovered that she was entitled to more. The takeaway is even if you're trying to avoid conflict, always have an attorney review any agreement before signing. You do not have to have an attorney for your full representation, but I would basically say this is an expert tip here, okay? An expert tip. Even if you don't hire a full-time divorce attorney, a one-time consultation can prevent costly mistakes. So you may not have thousands of dollars, right, to hire an attorney, but find out that attorney's fee.
So what is your consultation fee? Or what is an hour of your time? Because I may need a little bit more than just a consultation. Can I pay for an hour or 2 hours of your time so that I can ask all of the questions? I can go over everything and then move forward. There are a lot of attorneys like myself that would say yes and have that conversation with you just so you don't miss these things, because it is there are tons of legal pitfalls, and I do not want you to be victim to that. So, when do you need a legal team? If you have real estate, investments, or significant assets, okay? And it's up to you to determine what are significant assets. Also, if there are business interests or intellectual property involved, if your spouse is hiring a lawyer and you feel outmatched, that is definitely an expert tip and a key that you need a legal team as well. All right, now let's talk about some of the legal pitfalls that I do not want you to do, okay? I don't want you to fall victim to this. First is, I'm going to only name three of them, okay? Three of them. First is moving out prematurely, moving out of your marital house prematurely. If you leave the marital home without a court order, you may weaken your custody case or property claims case. So, if you're claiming these assets, but you left the property, it actually lessens it, because if someone know they have a right to something, they're not usually leaving. Now, what is a caveat? The caveat is if you are in a toxic environment, there's physical abuse, and you cannot tolerate that abuse. Obviously, an argument can be made that you left for your safety. So don't stay in a drastic situation because of this pitfall that I'm saying, because there are always exceptions to the rule. But if that is not the case and you can remain there safely, do not leave your house until you get a court order. Pitfall number two. I did want to say, when you move out, the argument that your spouse can make is that you abandon the home, and they will use that in court against you. And that is a term of art, abandonment, whether it's children, the home, the marriage, that is a key legal term of art. Pitfall number two is hiding assets. Some spouses try to move money into secret accounts or undervalue their business to avoid sharing assets. Courts do not take this lightly and will penalize dishonesty. Okay? Don't do it. Don't do it, because listen, there is what we call forensic accountants. I talk about it in the book, Divorce Like a Boss. There are forensic accountants, and they can find money, value, and all that wherever you hide it, any country you hide it in. Any asset you devalue, they can find it. That's their job, okay? So, an example is a woman's husband moves money offshore before filing for the divorce, right? But the forensic accountant discovers that deception, leading to severe penalties, and you don't want the judge against you at any point, Dirk, because remember, we're still human. Even judges are humans. Yes, they can think and assess information more objectively than most, but we are all still humans. So do not put yourself in that circumstance. Number three is letting emotions drive your decision. I have a whole chapter dedicated to emotions in divorce. Don't do it, okay? Courts care about the legal facts, not emotions. Avoid making rash decisions just to get it over with. That quote, just to get it over with, that's not a thing. It is not a thing, okay? If you rush through a settlement to avoid conflict, only to find out at the end, after the divorce is done, you are struggling financially, that is not good. Do not rush to sign a divorce settlement out of frustration, exhaustion, anger, defeat. Do not do that. Okay. And finally, a bonus. This is a bonus. Do not enter your divorce or complete your divorce without having a post-divorce financial plan. It's a real thing. You have to have a post-divorce financial plan in place. You need a strategy for income, assets, and stability. Work with a financial planner and set new wealth go building goals. Okay. You can start with $20, $2, it doesn't matter. But make sure you have that plan in place before you go into that part, okay, of ending your divorce. Now, we are going to go into breaking some of the myths of divorce because I hear it all. You can imagine, you all can imagine everything that I hear. And remember, all of this is because we want to make sure that you are empowered, you are moving from toxic to triumph, and you are not stuck in a situation because you just don't know what to do or where to turn. So here are some myths about divorce that I do not want you to hold anymore. Okay. First one is divorce means I failed. That is absolutely untrue. The truth is, divorce is a transition, not a failure. Sometimes it's the most faithful, necessary step toward peace and wholeness. Let's refer to a biblical scripture that goes with that. Jeremiah 29:11 states, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope. At no point can this one decision remove you from God's plan, only if you remove yourself. But God is not saying that his plan has been destroyed because of divorce." So that is not true. Take it out of your mind. Divorce does not mean you fail. The next thing is, I'll lose everything in the process. This is myth number two. The truth is, if you have a strategy, you can protect your assets, your peace, and your children's well-being. A woman assumed, this is an example, a woman assumed she had walked away with nothing to avoid a fight. Instead, by using what I'm going to talk about next, which is the rap method, she secured fair alimony and custody without having to have the fear of what am I going to do next? How am I going to eat? How am I going to take care of these children when I'm with them? None of that. The rap method, and I am going to break that down briefly. It's going to be a brief introduction because I can't give you the whole thing. All right. And then myth number three. God hates divorce, so I should stay no matter what. This is a very deep one because we know that there are many people who are suffering, dying in marriages because they believe God hates what which God does. He does not like divorce. He did not create marriage for it to end in divorce. But to say that you're going to stay no matter what then means that Jesus coming and dying for you, it covered everything, every other sin, every stain, everything. But it does not cover divorce. And that's only if divorce is considered a sin, because Jesus addressed divorce, Moses addressed divorce, but Jesus said, because the people were wicked, that is why Moses had to give them the ability to divorce one another. But Jesus then goes on and said, if there's infidelity, and we can get into that in the course and different things, we talk about it. But here, the truth is, God values peace, wisdom, and your well-being, not suffering and toxic, dangerous, or damaging relationships. Where do we see this? Psalms 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. And we know well that divorce crushes your spirit. Divorce is like death. It takes the grieving process like we do when there is a death. We understand that. I'm acknowledging that, and I'm coming alongside you to say that I recognize that, I know that, and you are not alone, and you should not be alone in this process. So I'm going to take the next few minutes to introduce the RAP method. This is RAP method on how to navigate divorce with faith, strategy, and purpose. Divorce isn't just emotional, it's legal, financial, and spiritual. That's why I created the RAP method, a trademark method to help women walk through this transition with wisdom and confidence. R, what does the R in rap mean? R means reason. Get emotionally and spiritually clear. Divorce is not just a decision. Divorce is not just a decision, it's a process. Questions that we ask in the reason stage is, why is this happening? Why is this divorce happening? What is God teaching me in this season? The faith alignment is, make sure your decisions is rooted in clarity and not just pain. Proverbs, not Psalms, Proverbs 16, verse 3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. One key that I suggest when we are in the reason section of navigating the divorce process is journaling. Journaling is so powerful. And I'm going to give you three prompts. There's over three. We have 10 in our guide, which we have for free, and it'll be available for download to all of you listeners. And it reason is understanding the emotional and spiritual foundations of divorce. This is what's going to help with journaling. One of the prompts is reflection on initial commitment. Reflect on the time, this is the prompt, reflect on the time when you decided to marry. What were your hopes and expectations about marriage? How have these changed over time? Prompt number two, identifying your turning points. Describe three significant turning points in your marriage that contributed to your current situation. What emotions and thoughts arose during these times? And finally, there's a lot more prompts, but I'm just sharing this for this Faces of Divorce episode. Emotional impact. What have been the most challenging emotions during your marriage and the process of considering divorce? How have you managed these emotions? So these are some prompts that you can use right now in journaling and add journaling to your divorce plan. Okay. The next thing in the RAP method is A. A is analysis. It is knowing your legal and financial rights. We kind of went on that already, but understanding that divorce is a legal and financial process, you need knowledge, not just emotions. So, getting that legal consultation, securing your finances, preparing the documents. Preparing documents is bank statements, deeds to property, debts that you have, your retirement, collect all those things. Something about retirement, the day that you file, whatever the value of the retirement is, that's where the court is considering, not the compiling after, but the date, either if you can show that you separated or the date of filing. Okay. So, a common pitfall is that many people sign divorce papers blindly. Do not do that. The wisdom that we receive from Proverbs in this area of analysis, of knowing your legal and financial rights, is Proverbs 14:1. The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. We do not want to be foolish. We are moving in wisdom. And finally, we have P, which is the process. Process is taking action and moving with confidence. Divorce doesn't mean chaos, it means a new chapter. The key action steps when we are in the process, because the process basically means that now you're filing, you're actually, in the legal process, you file the petition or you're going to respond to the petition. You're going to ask for what you ask for. You're going to be strategic. You have already identified your leverage and the analysis part. So here are some key action steps. Set clear boundaries, okay? You need to set boundaries for this legal process because it is taxing all on its own. So co-parenting, finances, mental health, what are your boundaries in these areas? Plan for your future after divorce. Life does not end at divorce. It continues after divorce. So plan your future, your budget, career, support system, who's there with you? Who are you going to rely on? The days where you have to go to court, the days where you have to be in a deposition, you have to go to mediation. Who's going to take the children? What are you going to do? Who can you call just to cry and lean on? And heal with purpose. That's another action step. Therapy, prayer, community. Don't neglect God in this process. Do not neglect God. Do not neglect prayer. Do not neglect coming together. Do not let depression take you at this time. You are empowered because you are still in God's hand. What does the scripture say about this? Exodus chapter 14, verse 14. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. You need to believe that in this divorce process. Okay? So that is reason, analysis, and process, which I have cultivated and created as the RAP method to help you navigate divorce. It is faith, it is faith-based, it's legal, and it also allow you to navigate the divorce process with faith and purpose. So I have some final thoughts on how to divorce like a boss, boss meaning beyond our shackles of shame with biblical confidence. Three things to remember from scripture. God is your provider. Psalms 55, 22 says, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. Even in financial uncertainty, God will make a way. Number two, God is your defender. Exodus 14, 14. I just read that. Know that he's going to fight for you. Let wisdom, not emotion, guide your legal steps. And number three, your future is secure. Jeremiah 29, 11. I've already read that during this broadcast, this podcast. So know that divorce is a transition, not the end of your story. And I want to give you a final verse, Proverbs 31, verse 25. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. Because why? We know that you have your God with you. God has not neglected you. Your purpose is still there for you to fulfill. And I want to make sure that you fulfill your purpose. Okay. What are some next steps that you can do after listening to this episode? One, we are going to have a free RAP method guide, and the link will be available for you to download. Listen to more episodes and connect on Instagram. My Instagram handle is at Jadina N. Gustav E. S. Q. Oh, Esquire. I think I have the whole thing. ESQ. DM me, comment on your biggest takeaway. I want to hear from you. Remember, divorce is not your downfall, it's your breakthrough. Walk in power. And before I completely close, I want to make some declarations over your life. I want to speak life over you. If you're in a season of divorce, know that this is not the end. You are a woman of God. You are powerful. You are whole. You are worthy. Repeat this with me while you are listening to this. I am not broken. I am being rebuilt. I am not defeated. I am victorious in Christ. I will not fear my future. My steps are ordered by God. I am divinely protected, divinely provided for, and divinely purposed. This is not the end. This is my new beginning. I am Jadina N. Gustav Esquire. You can call me Attorney J. See you in the next episode. Be strong, be wise, and above all, keep walking in purpose. This is Faces of Divorce.